92.7 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, we need to recognize that some very pronounced tailwinds have faded, or at the very least are now in the base of investor calculations. We've seen many capitulating on the hope of any kind of reform trade here in South Africa. But that said, it does look like there's a bit of a valuation and potentially an M&A underpin in the country, especially across the smaller mid-caps. So what's the bottom line in that space at the moment in a low or no growth environment? It's obviously about continuing to hunt for businesses that can gain market share or benefit from self-help or deal-making or just a proper management team. Let's welcome Small Talk Daily's Anthony Clark, who covers around 100 stocks in the space. And Happy New Year. May your returns be positive and your COVID test negative. What's your expectations, broadly speaking, as we kick off the new year for the sector before we go into specific stocks?
Yeah, hi, Michael, and a very Happy New Year to you and to all the listeners. What a year we had in 2021. You know, the small cap index for the year was, I think from memory, up 52% versus about 24% for the JSE All Share, and just a touch better at about 24.5% for the JSE Mid Cap, showing you that the small cap sector was the place to be last year, with some substantial gains made for investors and a slew of buyouts and offers made. So looking forward, I think it'll be a much more difficult year. You know, from the post-COVID base where stocks were completely decimated, where valuations I hadn't seen for the best part of 20 or 30 years were attained in sort of March, April 2020, there's been a material rebound. So whilst we've seen significant rises and rallies in many small caps, which have performed materially better than perhaps many investors anticipated, I think going forward, it'll be more of a stock picker's market. I expect lots more M&A, quite a few buyouts, and I think one has to be a little bit more selective this year. Just sort of, you know, picking the basket as a whole and expecting another 50% return is not going to happen. I think this year, as you correctly say, in a weaker environment with an interest rate rising scenario globally, will be a far more testing period for investors in the small to mid-cap space. But still, when I see positive returns.
Yeah, well, it does really talk about going back to those fundamentals and not just relying on the index, as you say, but doing your research and picking from the bottom up. And that's really what you do. You were supposed to take a break over December, and I certainly did, but I popped into Twitter every now and again, and I saw you still tweeting away. So you've really kept your eye on the sector through the holiday period. Let's just start with the agri sector. And it's been one of those rare standouts in the South African context because it's been performing well despite the soggy economy. But when I say soggy, I look around at the dams, which are full, which is fantastic. But you look at the soil and how soggy that must be getting. Sometimes too much rain can actually be a bad thing for the agri sector. What's the risk here and how close are we sailing towards it?
Yeah, we had a very, very good agricultural season in 2021. In fact, we're now, if you include this year, expecting the third great year for the sector. You know, our memories often forget that it was only a few years ago we had the worst drought in 100 years in this country, and the agricultural sector was completely decimated. We've now had two good years of crops and revenues, but this year started off extremely well with good rains, enabling the farmers to plant early. But as you correctly say, in the month of December, we had torrential rain in parts of the Northwest Province and Free State, in many cases 400 to 500% above the usual average rainfalls. Now, that is not good when you've just planted seed, because the germination needs to occur, and too much rain makes the soil just basically like mud, which means that germination will be very weak, which means the underlying yield on the crop per hectare could be quite low. So whilst the market was anticipating a very, very good year this year, I think we will await the Crop Estimate Committee's first intention in January, then in February, to see how much yield has been lost because of the rains. It's a very serious situation in certain parts of the maize belt, and that's what's keeping the input prices a lot higher as we move into 2022, and that is bad news for food producers and the consumer, but again, good news for the underlying agricultural interests, which are all soaring very high. TWK, an Mpumalanga-based co-op, hit a new high the other day at 50 Rand. Carp Agri is soaring higher, and even Senbez, based in the Northwest Province, has moved up quite nicely and is doing a share buyback, indicating it's prepared to buy shares back up to 17 Rand. And you could have bought Senbez literally before Christmas at about 11 Rand a share. So the sector remains very buoyant, but one has to be very cautious regarding, as I said, the mud out in the fields.
What would be your number one pick in that space to buy and hold for the year, Ant?
I've gone on record. I put a note out in the middle of December called Food for Thought, and I wouldn't want to be in the food processors sector again for the second successive year. I've been avoiding that sector like a plague. I'm going for the fishing sector. Interestingly, Oceana has been beaten down because of its accounting issues in the States, which will be known in due course, given the results were delayed. And then Sea Harvest, which is a mid-cap food and fishing play, it listed probably 2017 from memory, was beaten down in early November, December, to about 11.85. The stock was in a P of seven times for what is a quality business with excellent management. Now, overnight, it's just concluded a 70 million Aussie dollar or near 800 million rand deal to double the size of its operation in Australia. And then the market, once they realize that the underlying fishing business is performing well, despite some hiccups in the domestic food business, and we've got a nice new deal in the bag in Australia with a rand hedge potential, at 14.25, the last price I saw for Sea Harvest, so it's up 10% since my December recommendation, to me, has legs. I think the food processing sector is one that I'd avoid, and the rand hedge sector, the fishing businesses, once the long-term fishing rights are allocated, I'm estimating before Easter, will be the play in the food sector for 2022. That and Libstar, where I see corporate restructuring and some management change. Otherwise, I'd avoid the entire sector and stick to Agri, Sea Harvest, and Libstar.
Well, there you go. What do we know about that Western Australia-based MG? How do you pronounce it? I want to say Cullis, like the cricketer Jacques Cullis, but it looks like Kalis. What do we know about that business?
Yeah, it's Kalis. It's a good Greek family, but typical, you know, the Greeks went to Australia many years ago and did extremely well in the industries that they knew. So in the 60s, a husband and wife team founded a fishing business in Western Australia. They then diversified into jewelry via pearl fishing and pearls. But they have a very substantial wild fish operation, and that's the business that Sea Harvest has bought for $70 million. In discussing it with management today, they indicate to me that in combining their existing Australian operations called Maritarium with what they've just bought, which is M&G Cullis Seafoods, will take their annual revenue in Australia to $100 million Australian dollars, which is roughly 1.1 billion rand, with an EBITDA of around 16 million Australian dollars. So it'll account for about 20% of Sea Harvest's total revenue once consolidated. So it's a very sweet deal, and it basically just gives them scale in Australia, and they go from being a minor player, let's say in the lower leagues, but now in the Premier League. They'll be one of the top three players in wild caught fish and one of the top five fishing companies in all of Australia.
And then Metrophile. I know you've been beavering away at your Metrophile note. And one might think, well, what's so sexy about a company that is admittedly a market leader, but in document storage, in an age where everything is done digitally and then the cloud, what's there to like about Metrophile?
The very points you mentioned in the last part of your preamble, the digital strategy and the cloud. You know, for many years, whenever we had a new contract, we had to sign endless bits of paper for cell phone contracts, store cards, credit cards, bank accounts. We still do those these days, but all of that paper used to be stored in cardboard boxes in warehouses dotted around the country. You know, in 2021, 2022, most of those documents are now digitally scanned and hosted in the cloud. And that's where you get cost savings and a far more efficient methodology for corporates that have to store legally vast amounts of our personal data. So what Metrophile is doing is moving itself away from storing physical boxes, which will always be there. It's a nice annuity business, and moving more towards a digital and cloud hosting strategy. And their transaction to buy entry in late November, I think, is the start of that process. So the share price from its low of 3 years ago of 1.30 has run to about 3.40. There's been a swirl of activity regarding potential corporate transactions which haven't really materialized. But I've gone on record in a note which I put out this morning stating that I think that this stock going forward is going to have more corporate attention, and the earnings this year I think will play catch-up with the market's looking for and looking forward. It's the digital and the cloud area that will really power the growth going forward. And I've got a short-term target of 4 rand and a longer-term target of 5 rand.
Well, there we go, Small Talk Daily's Anthony Clark talking about the outlook in the small to mid-cap and industrial space in South Africa. And we're going to have you back on sometime soon to talk about the ongoing SOPI, that is Ascendus. We see iron ore futures bouncing back, so that must be good news for Afrimat as well. Always a wealth of very valuable information is our Anthony Clark, and have a great year.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.